As the climate changes, there's been a lot of talk about a race to exploit the Arctic regions, which in many ways are showing the earliest and most extreme effects from global warming. With a sea lane through the Arctic, suddenly the possibility of large-scale shipping traffic looks more inevitable. At a first-ever summit conceived by President Obama after his visit to Alaska last year, delegates from 25 countries gathered in the nation's capital this week to better understand what's going on at the top of the world. As this Arctic ministerial meeting was taking place, more than 30 Alaska Native and Arctic Indigenous leaders also came together to describe what climate change really feels like for communities that have lived closely to the land for decades. Yvonne Peter was there. He's member of the Gwich'in Nation and Vice Chancellor for Rural Community and Native Education at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. He just returned to his home in Fairbanks from D.C. when he spoke to us.
There are many Arctic Indigenous peoples who live above the Arctic Circle and in the north, and some recent surveys in the United States have shown that very few Americans are aware of that. There's a sense of urgency among our people of the need for this attention on Arctic right now. We're seeing rapid increases in the temperature of the weather. Some of our lakes are drying up. We have tundra drying up, more intense and frequent forest fires in the summertime. Permafrost is melting, literally shifting the earth from under our feet and under our buildings. You know, we have some of our communities that are having to be relocated now because the coupling of permafrost melting with more intensive storms in the springtime are eroding the land underneath our communities. And the changes that are impacting our communities right now in the Arctic have implications for the rest of the world.
Is your ultimate mission to get governments and corporate institutions to help mitigate or compensate for these social and biological changes in the Arctic?
The history of colonization that impacted all Indigenous peoples over the last several hundred years basically put us in a position of being assimilated, subjugated, and not included in critical conversations that impacted our people's way of life and our lands and the resources. And so really the foundation, I think, of the communication that was provided by many Arctic Indigenous peoples a couple days ago at that meeting was that we need to be at the table. I have to say that I was probably more impressed with these meetings that happened in D.C. than I've been with almost any other meetings that we've had with high-level officials, just as observers listening to our own people share our concerns and the knowledge that we have about the Arctic. And so I'm hopeful that this is a momentum that will continue on under a new presidency.
That's pretty positive. If I was standing on your doorstep and looking towards the horizon, what impact would I see from climate change that's right there where you're living?
The changes in temperature just in my lifetime, which is very relatively short, is so noticeable and significant. I think at one of the meetings in D.C., I heard that just this year alone, we're 7 degrees warmer than any other year on record. We're seeing new species of plants move up, some of them invasive species, into areas that weren't there. Other species of animals going away, and we're not sure where they're remigrating to in different areas. To us, it's so clear that this world is changing and very rapidly.
Do you have kids?
Yes, I have 4 children.
What do you tell them about the changes that are taking place and about images and memories that you have that they'll never experience?
I explain to my children that we're living in a time of incredible changes on this earth, not only with the natural environment, but also within humanity on a social level. And that right now is a very important time for us to understand how things are changing, why we need to be involved in conversations that are occurring, and really as Indigenous peoples to bring forth our knowledge and wisdom that our people have, because we're still so intimately connected to the land and the natural environment.
Based on this meeting, what can you do in these partnerships tomorrow to get started?
Well, we're going to continue to be involved, to show up, to encourage changes in federal policy, at least here within the United States, to continue to be included, especially in the not only national but international convenings relative to the Arctic. And hopefully that results in policy changes at the domestic levels that impact our people's way of life. And not only that, but there's some still major injustices in federal policy relative to Alaskan people. Like, we're some of the only Indigenous peoples in all North America whose Aboriginal right to hunt and fish was extinguished by federal policy without a treaty negotiation with our people. And it's almost unheard of by other Arctic Indigenous peoples. And so there's some policy changes, federal changes that really need to come out and that we need to continue to advance as a part of these conversations.
Yvonne Peter, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.